Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of From My Point of View. We have a long list of NFL signings, a couple trades, but mostly NFL signings from yesterday, the first official day of the NFL offseason. You know all those reporters, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, and everybody else. They all went crazy, hunting stories and all that good stuff. And a couple surprise signings. Of course, Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles is like, it just was totally devastating. And it really, really sucked. But the Giants did trade for Brian Burns, the Carolina edge rusher, who was very unhappy there. And they didn't really give up a whole lot. And they signed him to a pretty good extension. So it definitely helped soften the blow of Saquon leaving. The Giants also lost Xavier McKinney. And that's, we're going to go all, look how many, I had so many of these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 22. We have about 30 different signings that I want to talk about. Most of them are pretty big. There are a couple of smaller ones that I'll get going on. Obviously, some will be discussed in more detail than others. But there's definitely a lot to get to for yesterday. Again, the first day of the NFL season, things are still rolling in. We got Derrick Henry this morning signing with the Ravens. There are still free agents out there and contracts to be signed that will roll out for the next probably couple weeks or so. So let's kick it off. First, joining Jason Kelce in retirement is longtime defensive tackle, defensive end, defensive lineman, Fletcher Cox. Longtime Eagles defensive lineman, Fletcher Cox. Team captain, much like Jason Kelce. They've both been there for a long time. Brandon Graham is also kind of a part of that group. Brandon Graham, I think when I saw, he signed a one-year extension with the Eagles. Seems like he feels like he has more left in the tank and wants to run it back one more time, see if the if the Eagles can capitalize and get back to the Super Bowl and try and win another one during his stint, because he was on that 2016 team, as was Fletcher Cox there. I think they were actually, those three guys might have been like the last, maybe Lane, I think Lane Johnson was on that team too. So there's really, now there's only a handful of guys, a few key members that were left from that 2016 team. And now it's even less so. Now I think it actually might just be Lane Johnson and Brandon Graham. But so he retired, obviously a huge loss for the Eagles, but they so far through free agency have made quite a bit of noise signing certain players. So from the top, we're going. Jerry Jeudy gets traded from the Denver Broncos to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth and sixth round pick. Good compensation. If you're the Browns, you're not giving up a whole lot for a receiver that is very clearly physically talented. I would kind of chalk up the last 2 years that he had in Denver to just really nothing but dysfunction, and probably the fact that he probably didn't want to be there. We'll call it as it is, because Cortland Sutton, even with all the dysfunction in Denver and the losing that they did really early on before they went on a little bit of a winning streak there, Cortland Sutton was the only guy who was really like producing on that offense. Javonte Williams was decent. But Cortland Sutton was really the guy that was getting all the numbers. He was getting all the touchdowns, and most of them were just from Russell Wilson throwing it up to high point wins, you know, tall man wins. And that's Cortland Sutton. He's like 6'4", huge target. So he was really the only one who was eating with Russell Wilson. Jerry Jeudy kind of faded into nothing. But I think safe to say he's obviously physically talented. I don't think that's going to be a big issue. It's just Cleveland, I don't really trust their quarterback situation either. I don't think Deshaun Watson's very good anymore. I think he has, that ship has, that has sailed. It's kind of over. And I think depending on how this year goes, it's going to go down as the worst sign and trade of all time, right up there with Russell Wilson. And right now, Russell Wilson, the trade from Seattle to Denver on behalf of the Denver Broncos is the single worst trade in NFL history. Just what you gave up, like multiple first round picks and players plus other picks for Russell Wilson. You gave him whatever it was, like $300 million, something like that. He was horrible. Like, he was bad for you. And in 2 years you cut him, and now you're eating like this enormous dead cap. So with Judy on the Browns, definitely a good change of scenery. I mean, Cleveland, they were a playoff team. They got hosed by the Texans, but they were a playoff team and they played well. They had a great defense this year, this past season. It's just, you're going from one bad QB situation to kind of like an unknown scenario. Like, is Deshaun Watson going to turn it around or is he not? So for Jerry Jeudy, hopefully just being on like a competitive, because the Browns are going to be competitive, just because they have so many talented players that they're going to be competitive, regardless of if Deshaun Watson is like elite or not. But definitely a good change of scenery for Jerry Jeudy. And I mentioned Russell Wilson. He goes to the Steelers, vet minimum for the Steelers. Why not? I don't see the downside here. Yeah, Russ hasn't really been playing well the past couple seasons, but he's still a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You don't really get those kind of guys too often on vet minimums. So probably smart to take a flyer, because Kenny Pickett was not really doing it for the Steelers before he got hurt. And then after he was healthy, he lost his job to Mason Rudolph, who came in and played pretty well. But, you know, everyone in the Steelers, despite Mason Rudolph trying his best and kind of being pretty productive for a little bit, he's not the answer. And Russell Wilson's not the answer either. Russell Wilson is not the answer to the Steelers' quarterback problems, but he could provide a much simpler and easier transition or stopgap that the Steelers kind of need. But they're in, as of right now, they're in QB hell. So unless a quarterback becomes a free agent or becomes available via trade, the Steelers are kind of in limbo right now, because Mason Rudolph, I don't even know if he's going to stay on the team. Kenny Pickett is in all likelihood going to be the backup. So he lost his starting job. That's not a great sign, obviously. And Russell Wilson, like, I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be leading the league in passing yards or passing touchdowns. I think he's going to do just enough to win football games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is all they really need right now. Because they have a lot of other great players around them. And you saw so many times the Steelers being in these like nitty gritty defensive games where it's just like, if they could just score 10 points, they'd win the game. And they couldn't even do that. So the offense was just completely inept for a majority of the season last year. Arthur Smith is there, new OC. Hopefully that kind of clears things up for them. And they kind of start establishing their identity as a tough running football team. And Russell Wilson can kind of just be that game manager type of player. Although I mentioned, he could be a game manager, but how many times have we seen Russell Wilson throw just like completely inexcusable interceptions, especially when he was on the Broncos? He was very prone to just like, he just like throws it away and it's in no man's land and it gets picked off by a safety. And everyone, you just kind of throw your hands on your head, like, what is going on? So can't really say that that's going to be something that is like inevitable. It might be inevitable. I don't know. But yeah, why not take the flyer? Mac Jones, the Mac Jones era in New England is over. He gets traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars to be Trevor Lawrence's backup. They were in the same draft class, and it's over. And now they were in the same draft class, and now Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence's backup. And, you know, Mac Jones, he I definitely got the short end of the stick there in New England. Just complete dysfunction in the end of the Belichick New England era. That definitely didn't help him. You know, he got off to a good start his rookie year, and obviously he wasn't perfect, but good start nonetheless. You're thinking this is something to grow with. We can mold this guy into a good quarterback. Belichick and the Patriots, they've done it again. Can't believe it. And after that, it was just nothing but dysfunction. He went through two more OCs since his first year. And consistency is important in the NFL, man. Consistency is very, very, very important. Much like Justin Fields. Justin Fields physically is a much better talent than Mac Jones, but same kind of thing. Dysfunction all around him. Fields probably had it worse. He had two head coaches, multiple OCs, just complete dysfunction top to bottom in the Chicago Bears. But New England was pretty close. I mean, it was. And then you add on top of it that, like, Belichick has him. Mac Jones is the starter. And then, you know, after the first quarter, he throws an interception. So he benches him for Bailey Zappi. That whole back and forth that he kept having with Mac Jones is the starter. He gets benched mid-game. Mac Jones is the starter. He gets benched mid-game again. Like, the crippling effect that would have on someone's confidence cannot be understated. And knowing that, like, none of these guys have trust in you, no one in the coaching staff, ownership, no one has trust in you. You're on the shortest leash imaginable. It's not fun. Like, you can't, how can you expect to go out there and try and play football when, you know, every mistake, as soon as you make a mistake, not every mistake, as soon as you make a singular mistake, you're red alert, like you're about to be benched. You're about to get hooked. It's not a good environment to be in. Not to say Mac Jones was, you know, if he had a solid foundation, Mac Jones was going to be like this all-pro quarterback. I'm not saying that. But his play was definitely affected by the toxic, inconsistent environment that has been brewing in New England for quite some time, which is why I think this is smart. They get rid of Mac Jones. Belichick's gone. Whole new coaching staff. You're starting from scratch. And I respect that from, you know, everyone in New England. I think they finally realized, like, okay, it's over. We need to start from scratch, reevaluate. You know, maybe they're able to land a quarterback at number three overall. Maybe they take Jaden Daniels, and it's like, we'll see if this guy can be an NFL quarterback for us. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world for them, because they do have a good defense, regardless. I mean, I think the Patriots defense is pretty rock solid, all things considered. And even last year, they were pretty rock solid with some injuries. You know, Christian Gonzalez, their first round pick, he got injured. Matthew Judon missed some time. So with everyone healthy, their defense is still pretty solid. Jerod Mayo's the head coach, experienced linebacker for the Patriots. You got to think he's going to kind of continue that identity that Bill Belichick had as a defensive, probably the best defensive coordinator of all time, Bill Belichick, one of easily. I would say he's probably the best, but, you know, having that as the identity, and then you have a franchise quarterback that's able to lead the offense, that's what made the Patriots so special. And they're going to try and get back to that. Is Jaden Daniels that guy? I don't know. Obviously, Heisman Trophy winner, incredible physical talent. How many times have we seen that in college and it doesn't translate to the NFL? There's always question marks. There's always going to be question marks with basically all these guys. Even Caleb Williams, some people are like, there are some things that definitely cause for concern. But for the most part, though, all of his physical attributes and his ability to read the field and adjust and all that kind of stuff and make plays happen, that trumps everything. And Jaden Daniels is kind of up there. But from what I see, a lot of people are kind of scared about how he throws himself around on the football field. if he were to take some of the hits that he took in college in the NFL, he would be knocked out of the game. That's the kind of stuff that I think worries some people, how his body is going to translate to the NFL level, which I think is that's fair. But do the Patriots take him? Maybe they do. Who knows? This one's quick. Not going to spend much time on the 49ers are releasing Arik Armstead. Armstead's been there for a minute. Got to save some cap room. T. Higgins. And then I wrote all these down like kind of as they were all happening. So that's why they're going to be in like specific order. But T. Higgins, he was franchise tagged and has requested a trade to the from the Cincinnati Bengals. So he's on the market. There were rumblings going on about this last season about how the Bengals probably aren't going to be able to trade T. Higgins, or the Bengals probably aren't going to be able to sign T. Higgins. They also recently were going to cut Joe Mixon, but instead of cutting him, they, I guess, got an offer from the Texans. So they decided to trade him at the last minute to Houston instead of cutting him. So Joe Mixon is now on the Houston Texans, which I kind of like. He brings that veteran presence. I mean, he showed last year, yes, for running back, he is getting up there, but he was good. He was good last year, Joe Mixon. He had a good season. So he's still got something left in the tank. And going to that young Houston team, maybe that revitalizes him a little bit. So good for Joe Mixon. I'm glad he didn't get cut, gets traded instead. And I'm sure the Texans will give him some type of contract. But Cincinnati, you see that this era of the Cincinnati Bengals that was playing Patrick Mahomes and beating him in the AFC Championship game might be over. And at the end of all of this, it's probably just going to be Burrow and Chase, which I think was always the plan when they drafted Chase. Like, these are your two guys who are going to lead the team into the future. This is who it's going to be. Joe Mixon was never, I mean, he had the prime of his career in Cincinnati and he played really well. They had a shot. They went to a Super Bowl. T. Higgins, unbelievable receiver. I think he has mentioned that besides Joe Burrow, who he does love, you got to understand, though, this is a business, and I think they understand that as well. They can only pay one. They can't pay both wide receivers. They can't. They already paid Burrow. They can't pay Higgins and Chase. So they're tagging Higgins. And either he's going to be a free agent or they'll trade him. I hope they trade him because to have him walk away from nothing would be ridiculous. Cough, cough, Giants. Not saying trade for him, but, you know, letting one of your star draft picks walk away for nothing is not very smart. but they need to they need to pay Chase. So Higgins is, unfortunately, the odd man out. Another good wide receiver, Michael Pittman. He was franchise tagged, but came to an agreement with the Indianapolis Colts. 3 years, $71.5 million to stay in Indianapolis. 45 guaranteed. Michael Pittman is a beast. You obviously have Anthony Richardson. Going to have his first full year as a starter, hopefully, if he stays healthy and learns not to be reckless on the football field. It's a good signing for Indianapolis. You had to retain Michael Pittman. He's a beast. Ravens signed Justin Matabuke for 4 years, $98 million, $75.5 million guaranteed. A big deal for Matabuke. Key part of the Ravens defense. Clearly, the Ravens had to kind of make some adjustments because they also let Patrick Queen go. They couldn't offer a contract to Patrick Queen. So he left. They signed Matabuke. That's a game changer on the defensive line. Big contract for Matabuke. Chris Jones, during the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory parade on the bus, he was screaming into the mic, "I'm not leaving. Three Pete's coming. I'm not. If you wanted me to leave, that's too bad. I'm not going anywhere." Blah blah blah. Like, he really made all these demands, which I'm sure his lawyers, not his lawyers, his agents were like, "Oh man, now we lost all leverage because now the Chiefs are going to lowball us because this guy just said he's coming back." They didn't lowball him. Spoiler alert: they didn't lowball him. 5 years, $158.7 million, 101 guaranteed for Chris Jones, a mammoth contract for one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I believe that puts him just below Nick Bosa and just above Aaron Donald, I'm pretty sure. Massive, massive, massive contract for Chris Jones, and rightfully deserved. He has been a fixture on that Chiefs defense for this entire dynasty that they have building, and very smart for the Chiefs to lock him up. He is a monster. And the Chiefs also tagged Legarius Sneed. So Legarius Sneed right now, he's not going anywhere. I'm sure they'll probably try and work out a contract extension for him. One of the best defensive backs in the league, even though he didn't get an All-Pro this past season when he definitely deserved it. Chiefs are going to keep him around. So at the minimum, he would be playing on the franchise tag this season. The Bears made a couple big signings on defense to bolster their defense. Very good signings. They re-signed, or they extended, Jalen Johnson. Smart move. One of the best defensive backs in the league as well. They signed him to a 4-year, $76 million extension. And they got former All-Pro safety Kevin Byard on a 2-year, $15 million contract. So they bolster their secondary as a cornerback position and the safety position. I like that for Chicago. They're building something nice there in Chicago. It looks like they kind of got things on the right track. Ryan Pohl seems like he kind of knows what he's doing. I will not ever agree with keeping Matt Eberflus around. I think this is a mistake. I think they should have fired him and they should have hired someone else. They completely cleaned out their coaching staff aside from Matt Eberflus, which is that it feels wrong to be doing something like that. So Ryan Pohl, you want to keep him around, fine. I kind of like the moves he's been doing. As long as they draft Caleb Williams, everything will be okay. But yeah, Ryan Pohl's definitely making some pretty good signings and smart financial decisions right now. And all of that is kind of in preparation for the fact that you need to load up now because you're going to have Caleb Williams for 5 years on a rookie deal. And that gives you a ton of salary cap flexibility for a team that's trying to compete. So ideally, in year 2-3, the Bears are contending for a Super Bowl if Caleb Williams pans out to be the player that everyone thinks he's going to be. If not, then, you know, another disaster for Chicago, but we won't even think about that right now. Baker Mayfield, one of the best signings, feel-good signings, warms your heart, gets $100 million from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I forget how much was guaranteed. I didn't write it down. I think it was like 50 of it was guaranteed. But regardless, 3 years, $100 million for Baker Mayfield to the Tampa Bay Bucs. I love it. What a story. Everything he's been through. And you gotta really like tip your cap to Baker. I want Browns fans to understand what they did to him. He is the only quarterback that's ever won you a playoff game since in the past 25 years. He's the only one. He's the only one that was able to do it. And on top of that, it was a dominating win against your division rival, Pittsburgh Steelers. So Baker got totally shafted by Cleveland. I don't think this is a secret anymore. I mean, I think many people share this opinion. The Browns sold their soul for Deshaun Watson, and they got rid of a guy that went out there and played hard every game, injured most of the time, and he went out there and he played hard, and he got screwed. And he goes to Carolina, terrible situation, asks for a release, signs with the Rams, does just well enough. And this is like all things falling in the right spot, because at this point, Matthew Stafford's hurt. So at least there's like an opening for the Rams. So he signs with the Rams. He gets a couple games under his belt, plays just well enough that the Bucs, who are facing a Tom Brady retirement, right? They kind of throw him a lifeline. Like, hey, come in, play. You know, maybe you're a backup to like Kyle Trask or whatever. Maybe you start. You know, we're not expecting a whole lot this year. he not only wins the division, the NFC South. Yes, the NFC South sucks, but wins the division regardless. And then beats the Eagles, who were in a tailspin, but the Eagles in a playoff game, convincingly, they dominated the Eagles in a playoff game. So Baker Mayfield has just done a lot with his career, from being ousted by the team that drafted him number one overall in favor of a kind of a shitty person, and, you know, to try and have to prove himself over the next like year, and then to have the success he did in Tampa Bay this year. They get him back. They re-signed Mike Evans. So the Bucs are keeping them around for a little bit. Both of them, I think Baker's 28 and Mike Evans is like 30. So they have a few years to see if they can make something happen. But love this contract for Baker. Rightfully deserved. I'm very happy for him. We're going back to the Bears. If you couldn't tell, like I said, I wrote all of these down. They're in no particular order. I wrote them all down as I was getting the notifications and I saw them on Twitter. The Bears also signed DeAndre Swift. So Swift signs for 3 years, $24.5 million, goes from the Eagles to the Bears. And it's a good signing for the Bears. You know, I think Swift has a lot of upside, but even behind a great offensive line last year, he was a bit underwhelming. Jalen Hurts kind of vultured a ton of touchdowns from him. He probably would have had like, I don't know, like what, six or anywhere from like 6 to 8 more touchdowns on his stat sheet at the end of the year if Jalen Hurts wasn't the quarterback. So pretty shitty situation there, but he goes from the Eagles to the Bears. Again, the Bears they're spending money because that's the move, right? Justin Fields, I don't know what they're going to do with him yet. If they're trading him, I was screaming from the rooftops, try and get the Falcons to trade for him, but the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins, which we're about to get to. So that's shot. Now you kind of look around, the free agency period's over. I mean, the free agency period has started, right? The offseason has officially started. I don't know what you do with Justin Fields. I have no idea. I mean, I think it would be a huge mistake to keep him on the roster as like a backup for a year. That would be a huge, huge mistake. You got to get rid of him to literally anybody. I mean, the Niners just swallowed their pride, right? And they took basically chump change for Trey Lance, who they traded up to get. And they kind of just shipped him off to Dallas for basically nothing. So you gotta make a decision here if you're Chicago. You gotta get rid of Justin Fields. He cannot be on the roster. I personally don't think he should even be on the roster by the time you draft Caleb Williams. But anyway, with the Bears, they clearly have an approach where it's like, let's spend money on not like an outrageous amount of money on non-premium positions, but let's spend some money on non-premium positions. Safety, they got Kevin Byard. Running back, they get DeAndre Swift. You know, nothing insane, but enough to bolster this roster, this defense, this offense. And then you get, again, Caleb Williams, number one overall. You have him locked into a rookie contract for 5 seasons. Here's one that kind of blew my mind. This one was a bit jarring. Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle for the Miami Dolphins, very good player. He got 4 years, $110 million with $84.75 guaranteed from the Las Vegas Raiders. That's bordering Chris Jones. Chris Jones got 5 years. So Chris Jones got an extra year and about $50 million more. A little less than $15 million more guaranteed, though, which is the problem. Chris Jones getting 101 guaranteed and Christian Wilkins getting nearly just shy of $85 million guaranteed is pretty insane. That's a lot of money for Christian Wilkins, and he's good. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's more than Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence is a better defender. Shout out to Joe Shane. And we're going to talk about the Giants when we get to Saquon. It's going to be a whole big thing, obviously. So, Joe Shane, locking down Dexter Lawrence before he was able to hit free agency. We probably would not have been able to afford him if he was a free agent this year. Let's be real. Let's call it what it is. So that contract is going to age incredibly well. So I'm very happy with that. Because if Christian Wilkins is getting that, I can't imagine what Dexter Lawrence would be getting. The Jaguars, they give Gabe Davis 3 years, $39 million. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. I actually didn't write this down at the time, which I was trying to find. I can't find it right now. But regardless, Josh Jacobs, he signs with the Green Bay Packers. And I believe the Packers asked Aaron Jones to take another pay cut, which he did last year. He said no, don't blame him. So they cut him after signing Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones then signs with the Minnesota Vikings. That's three players, Aaron Jones, Patrick Queen, and Saquon Barkley, that all went into, they all went and signed to division rivals, which that's, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to me that this keeps happening. Again, I'm going to get all into that when we get to some of these guys, but I do love Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. The Packers also signed Xavier McKinney away from the Giants. That one hurt. That one hurt a lot. Xavier McKinney, top five safety in NFL per PFF. We drafted him, I think, with the first pick or the second pick in the second round. And he's been very good. He was a team captain, 25 years old. Unfortunately, Joe Shane has a very clear plan, and he is not willing to sign big money to guys at non-premium positions. So premium positions, defensive line, offensive line, I guess, defensive line, quarterback, linebacker, edge rusher. I guess those would be considered the premium positions, because Joe Shane let two of his young homegrown drafted talents walk away for nothing. And I was saying, why not just use the franchise tag on Xavier McKinney? If you're going to let Barkley walk, at least use the tag on McKinney. They didn't even do that. So McKinney walks away. And I did get a report in the morning that said the Eagles were, quote unquote, heavily pursuing both Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. And after they signed Barkley, I was like, this is going to suck. Like, they're just going to have like all of our best players on their team next year. They didn't end up getting McKinney. So McKinney goes to the Packers for 4 years, $68 million. It's a great signing for them. Their defense obviously went through some pretty bad stretches last year, although in the playoffs, they did turn it up pretty significantly. So Xavier McKinney is a huge boost for them. Kirk Cousins goes to the Falcons, 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. I like it. I think, so Kirk Cousins doesn't, those Atlanta uniforms are like real, real slick looking. I hate them, just with the ATL on them. I think the whole minimalist thing is disgusting. Their throwbacks are great, but Kirk Cousins is like, he's such like a dad seeing, because you, when you think of the Falcons, you think of Michael Vick. And when you think of Michael Vick, you think of like one of the coolest, most electric, fun players to watch. And you look at everyone else, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, like these guys who are, they're great athletes. They're fun to watch flying around the field. And then you have Kirk Cousins is going to be their quarterback, who he's going to look weird in a Falcons uniform. I think he looked great in a Vikings uniform. I felt like that purple looked good on him, but that red and black scheme on Kirk Cousins is going to look a little weird. Regardless, I think the Falcons, this is a great signing for them. I mean, they very desperately needed a quarterback to unlock their full potential, because they had no one who could consistently get the ball to their playmakers. So I like this signing for them. Kirk Cousins can sling it around. Definitely could see, I mean, I would be actually at this point shocked if the Falcons didn't win the NFC South, because they have a very, very talented roster top to bottom, really. I mean, their defense at times is inconsistent, but for the most part, it's pretty solid. You know, they got Jesse Bates back there, which was a great signing from them last offseason. AJ Terrell still around. So I do like this move from the Falcons. I think it's smart, gives them a chance to win. And I'm not too worried about Kirk Cousins coming back from that Achilles injury, because he's not a mobile guy. He was never a guy who, you know, would run around outside the pocket, other than, you know, very briefly at times, but he's not a quote unquote running quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. He's a pocket passer. So I don't think that Achilles is going to hinder him too much going into next season. Okay. We're halfway through the list. This is where I have Saquon written down, but let's go through everything else. We're going to save Saquon for last just because it's a pretty big deal for me, obviously. The Giants did sign guard John Runyon, 3 years, $30 million. We'll see if that works out, but some offensive line help. The Vikings signed Andrew Van Ginkle, 2 years, $20 million. The Eagles gave Jets edge rusher Bryce Huff a ton of money, 3 years, $51.1 million. Deion Dawkins on the Bills, he re-signs for 3 years, $60.5 million. One of the few guys that didn't get cut from the Bills. Instead, they decide to give him some extra money. Probably pretty smart. You got to retain some guys, because the Bills released a bunch of people. They released Jordan Poyer and a lot of guys on defense. Their center, I think it was Mitch Morse, right? Who Morse ended up going to sign with the Jaguars. Robert Hunt got another Dolphins player, massive contract from the Carolina Panthers. So they're trying to clearly help out Bryce Young, but there's a lot of money for Robert Hunt. 5 years, $100 million for Robert Hunt, $63 million guaranteed. So they're really banking on him making an impact to protect Bryce Young and try and get some consistency there on the offensive line. Back to the Giants. They signed Devin Singletary. 3 years, $16.5 million. Not bad. Singletary had a pretty solid year last year for the Texans, especially in the second half. So I kind of like this signing for the Giants. Obviously not a great replacement for Saquon. You can't really. It's kind of hard to replace someone like that. But yeah. Not bad, Devin Singletary. Leonard Floyd, I didn't write down how much it was, but Leonard Floyd had agreed to a deal with the San Francisco 49ers, so the rich get richer. I believe it was a one-year deal. Gus Edwards leaves Baltimore. He goes to the Los Angeles Chargers for a two-year deal. Awuzie, the former Cincinnati Bengals defensive back, he leaves to go to the Tennessee Titans on a three-year deal. Azeez Al-Shaair leaves the Titans and goes to the Texans, 3 years, $34 million. I like that one a lot for the Houston Texans. It's a good pickup for them. Derrick Henry, he gets a deal. This happened this morning. Derrick Henry signs a 2-year, $16 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens, which I feel like is a match made in heaven, because the Ravens love to run the ball, and Derrick Henry, aside from the 1 year where he got injured, model of health. I mean, everyone's like, well, he's falling off a cliff because of running backs and all that kind of stuff. But he had a good year. He had 1,000 yards last year. 1,000 yards. Was it a down year, all things considered? Yeah, it was. But he still proved that he's a good NFL running back, man. Nothing's really changed on that front. And, you know, the Titans were good. I'm sure they'd keep him around, but they're not good. So it's kind of like, just what are we going to do? It's time to part ways. But I like that deal for the Ravens. I like that a lot. I feel like that's a great match. Patrick Queen. So this is going to lead into some things. Patrick Queen leaves the Ravens to sign with the Steelers for 3 years, $41 million. Pretty crazy what's going on in the NFL right now. And that brings me into Saquon Barkley. And we'll get into the Saquon Barkley and Tiki Barber feud that was going on. So Saquon Barkley, after being franchise tagged last year, he leaves the Giants to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles for a 3-year, $37.75 million contract, $26 million guaranteed. That's pain. That's pain. That it hurt, dude. It really, really, really hurt. And it only hurt because it's the Eagles. It didn't hurt because he left. I knew he was going to leave. You know, I think any Giants fan, any rational Giants fan, any Giants fan with a brain really should have expected this. You know, I'm not saying there was no hope. I think to hold a little bit of hope in your heart that he was going to re-sign with the Giants is perfectly natural. But realistically, after they tagged him last year and signed Daniel Jones, that was basically it. He was never going to be a running back for the New York Giants past last season. And it's because the Giants have no money. The Giants did not have any money to sign him. Not, again, Joe Shane made it very clear his plan is to not allocate large sums of money to non-premier positions in the NFL. It's not going to happen. Running back is under one of those. And, you know, it's been that way across the entire league. Teams don't really want to pay running backs. Now, the Eagles are in a unique position because they have a lot of their guys locked up. They did just get some salary relief with both Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce retiring. So they had some money to spare. And their team is really ready to win now. I mean, I know they struggled at the end of last year, but they're trying to capitalize on the team that they have now before any of them get older and they lose some more to retirement, or they, you know, eventually can't afford to keep a lot of these guys around. So they're trying to capitalize. So going to get a huge playmaker like Saquon Barkley at the running back position is something that they were in a unique position to do. The Giants were never even close. And I think that's something that you have to take into consideration. Does it's again, it is so painful that it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Like literally any team aside from them and the Cowboys, you can go to 30 other teams in the NFL or 29 other teams in the NFL. Just please, 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 please do not go to, don't stay in the division. Please. You could stay in the NFC. I don't care. Just don't go to the division. And he did. He went to Philadelphia. So that was really like a gut punch. And, you know, his tweet afterwards did kind of rub me the wrong way. You know, he goes like, thanks to everyone who supported me throughout the last 6 years. It's all love. And then it was like a blue heart and like the deuces thing. And then not even a minute later, he tweets out like Eagles emojis on Twitter. And then he posts on Instagram a Photoshop like hype video of it panning from his feet up of him in Giants blue. And then it like flashes and now it's him in like Eagles green. And it's like, you're really toeing the line here, Saquon. Like you're really rubbing it in. It sucks. Like I did not like that. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, I'm old enough to understand that it's a business. Then you have Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber goes on WFAN on his show and he says, you're dead to us, Saquon. You're dead to us. This is such a great betrayal. You are absolutely dead to me. You're dead to us. And Saquon was just like, he tweeted at him after he saw those same thing everyone else was seeing. He tweeted at Tiki and was just like, you've been a hater since I got here. Like, if you see me in public, don't talk to me. Like, I don't like you. And others, he had some other responses too, which were pretty tough. Let me see if I could find them here. Oh, look, I had that two screenshots. So he said, Tiki Barber, you've been a hater since I got to New York, and all the quote unquote dead to me talk. Don't smile in my face when you see me. And then he says, I don't have the other one. Yeah, Saquon. This sucks. Saquon's profile picture on Twitter is already him photoshopped in the Kelly Green Eagles jerseys. This is making me sick to look at this. So he says, Yup, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more guaranteed money, which wasn't given to me before. So if fans are going to hate me for that, then so be it. But I never turned my back on my teammates and always had theirs. So this brings me into this whole argument. Saquon was a great teammate. Everyone is on record for saying just like he's the best. He's awesome. A community man. He did a lot for like fans and just the community in Jersey and New York. For the Giants, beloved dude, like just a genuinely good dude. Tiki coming out firing like that feels a little unwarranted because the Giants couldn't even offer Saquon a deal. The idea was for the Giants was let him go, hunt for a contract, and then we'll try and match whatever it is. But the Eagles just came in with this over-the-top offer that the Giants were never, ever, ever going to realistically be able to match. So they just let him walk away. And that is what it is. Like, you gotta make decisions. And I don't blame them. I'm glad they didn't give him that money because it would have locked us up. We have a lot of holes to fill as a team. And I think the Giants are really, they finally have like realized that past the, you know, the decent season that we had and then the playoff win, you know, this past year was like, oh, maybe we are ready to win. We're not. And we have a lot of holes to fill, and the Giants have recognized that. And they had to let Saquon go. So I think Tiki came on a little strong. And I also think that, you know, the things he said about Eli on his way out the door, they rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And Tiki, since he's been a member of the media and since he made those comments for like the past 15 years now, close to it. It's damn near 20 years now, actually. He has been trying to make that right for a long time. This is not the way to go about it. Dragging Saquon through the mud for signing with the Eagles, I don't think is the way to go about it. I do understand why he's pissed. Obviously, loyalty in all of professional sports, not just football, across all professional sports, loyalty is not really something that these players hold in high regard anymore. I know it was a big thing back in the day, and when I was growing up, it was a huge thing. But nowadays, it's really not like that. Guys understand what now more than ever, it's a business, and they don't really care for loyalty because if a team screws you over when you're loyal, and then you expect something in return and the team turns around and says, nah, we're good. Where's the loyalty? You know, it's a one-sided loyalty kind of thing. So I understand what Tiki's saying. And I do feel that way to a degree where it's like you could have gone literally anywhere else. And instead you decide to go to the Eagles. Like apparently Saquon retweeted this. Apparently the decision came down to the Bears, the Texans, and the Eagles. Which makes me think you couldn't have gone to like the Bears or the Texans. Obviously, I think the decision might have just come down to he wants to stay on the East Coast because he's from around here. You know, being in Jersey was closer to his family. And now he's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which I think is even closer to his family. So he clearly wanted to stay on the East Coast. He didn't want to go to Chicago. He didn't want to go to Houston. And that's probably what it really came down to. But, you know, he secured his money and rightfully so. But for what it's worth, Saquon Barkley's probably a better teammate than Tiki Barber because Saquon Barkley would never say anything like that about his teammates on his way out the door the way Tiki did about Eli. However, Tiki Barber was a much better running back than Saquon Barkley. If you look at their Giants careers, it's not even close. Like, it legitimately is not even close. So I guess, Tiki, you can take that W. You were definitely the better running back in terms of, like, how each player performed in New York Giants blue. Tiki was significantly better. It wasn't even close. So I wish Saquon the best. I mean, I can't even say that. I don't wish him the best. I actually hope he has three of the worst years of his career. I really do. Because I don't, why would I want it? Like, good dude. I hope he stays healthy. That's what I'm saying. I'm not wishing injury upon him. I hope he stays healthy. But I just hope statistically, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work. Which probably isn't going to happen because the Eagles have a really good defensive line. So, or offensive line. So he's probably, I mean, against the Giants, You know Sirianni's going to like force feed him. He'll against the Giants twice a year, he'll probably had, I told my friends, two times a year, 25 carries, 160 yards and two touchdowns against the Giants two times a year. That's what it's going to be for the next three seasons. Cause he's going to want that smoke. He's going to want that revenge. And it sucks, bro. It sucks. It is just devastating. And this is really the first time that I have experienced this as a football fan. I couldn't tell you the last time a beloved athlete from the Giants went and went the next season, played for a division rival. Or I should, I'm not, if it happened between the Giants and Redskins slash Commanders slash Washington football team, that doesn't count. I don't really like hate on the Commanders like that and Washington in general like that, because they haven't really had like the sustained success, and we do beat them. Like Philly and Dallas hammer the Giants. For years, it's been like this. Basically, since Eli retired, we have not been able to beat either one of them. And it's, I don't remember the last, like, a legit superstar, like, really great talent left the Giants and the next year played for either the Cowboys or the Eagles. That sucks. Like, that is, it is something I've never, that's a feeling I've never experienced before. It is. I mean, just going to his Twitter right now and seeing his profile picture is a Photoshop picture of him in the Kelly Green jerseys is like, it's like causes like a pit in my stomach. It's gross. I hate it. And I know he's going to be so good next year, dude, too, because like the Eagles are just, they're a better team than the Giants. And I mean, specifically the offensive line is still very good. And knowing that the Eagles love to run the football and they just got Saquon Barkley, they're going to run over everybody next year. I think they really are. It's going to be scary. And I know I'm going to be like, I'm going to have like the 7th pick in fantasy football. I don't even know the order right now. This is just like, I feel it. I'm going to have like the 7th pick in fantasy football. It's going to get to me. And the top guy on the board is going to be Saquon Barkley. And I'm going to be like, oh my God. Like, do I take him? He might go top 5, but you know, I have this feeling that I'm going to be stuck with that decision on draft day for fantasy, where I'm sitting at my computer, my friends make their picks, and I'm going to be forced to take Saquon Barkley his first year in Philly. It's going to be like, I'm going to hate every second of it. I'm going to hate it. Yeah, man, it sucks. It really blows, dude. It's not fun. You know, he's obviously a great player. Like I said, I wish him a healthy season, but I hope they suck. I hope the Eagles absolutely fall apart. Kind of like this year. I hope the same exact thing happens. That would make me very happy. If the same exact thing happens, it would make me very happy. Something that did lessen the blow, though, for Saquon and Xavier McKinney leaving the Giants, is we got Brian Burns. Brian Burns, very publicly kind of discontent with the Panthers, and the Panthers kind of just being like, yeah, we're not going through contract negotiations anymore with Brian Burns. Insane, because like the previous offseason, you had teams, I forgot what the trade was. Someone offered like 2 first round picks for Brian Burns, and the Panthers said, no, he's a key part of our franchise moving forward. Like, we're going to keep him. We're not trading him. And now they turned around this offseason after being the worst team in football with no first round draft pick. They turned around. Oh, it was the Rams. I think the Rams offered them like 2 first round picks, but the Panthers turned around and they traded him to the New York Giants for a 2nd round pick and a 5th round pick. The same exact compensation the Giants got for Leonard Williams from the Seattle Seahawks. So when you talk about like who you sent away, Leonard Williams, which I love Leo, he was great for the Giants. I have nothing but love for him. You get a 2nd and 5th in return for Leonard Williams. And then You send a second and fifth for Brian Burns, who's like 25 years old and very good. That's like, that's crazy. What a trade that the Giants made. Joe Shane, that absolutely softened the blow. Because if the Giants just remained stagnant and all they did was sign like a couple of guards to two-year deals, fans would have been pissed. But they made a splash, and this goes to Joe Shane's philosophy, at a premier position in the NFL, a edge rusher like Brian Burns, who has been a stud for the last several seasons, getting him for not giving up any first-round picks, not giving up any players, getting Brian Burns for second and fifth to New York Giants, and then you sign him to a five-year, $150 million deal with $87.5 guaranteed. That's a great contract because the Giants aren't going to win now. They're probably not going to win next year. But then you get into year three of the Brian Burns contract. Now, all of a sudden, you plugged up the holes you were able to plug up. Hopefully, you get into a, you get a good, solid quarterback by then. And now, all of a sudden, you're ready to compete. And I like what the Giants, defensively, the Giants look not too bad in terms of at least the front seven, because you got Bobby Okereke, you got Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns now, and Dexter Lawrence. That's four really, really, really good defensive players that are going to be the leaders of that team. And two, you got the edge rusher and Burns, who can kind of play off and on the line of scrimmage. Okereke is a tackling machine. And Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau had a great year last year, and he really, his biggest issue was that his motor was like, sometimes he would just disappear. That wasn't an issue last year. He showed up a lot and he was sensational to watch. So I'm excited for year three of Kayvon Thibodeau. 11.5 sacks last year is great. And for Kayvon Thibodeau also, when he was, his tweet was funny to Saquon. He was just like, why? I'm happy for my brother though, but damn. Like he was pretty sad, but you know, I think that was everyone really with the Giants, just like, get your money, Saquon, like, congratulations, bro. He was retweeting, Saquon was retweeting a lot of stuff on his timeline from former Giants, current Giants, you know, guys just being like, you know, be well, do you, congratulations on, you know, getting your, the money you deserved and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's no ill will between him and his teammates, but there is going to be, I guarantee you there's ill will between Saquon and the Giants front office. Like, he's going to want to crush them. Anyway, Thibodeau had 11.5 sacks last year. And Brian Burns, he's 25 years old, 6'5", 250. He's a freak. He's already a two-time Pro Bowler. But he's played in basically every game his entire career. He had, from 2019 when he was a rookie to now, 7.5 sacks, 9 sacks, 9 sacks, 12.5, and 8 last year. He's very good. Like, he's a very, very good player. So like I said, Joe Shane going in on premier positions. The defense is now very solid. You got like a 4 really strong, and actually 5. Deontay Banks is really good, and he was a rookie last year. He is really good. That's a draft pick that they nailed. So you got Deontay Banks, Bobby Okereke, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and now Brian Burns. 5 really top-notch players. So in terms of the draft, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, I think Evan Neal is really the only one who didn't pan out there. Kayvon is a great player. Deontay Banks, last year's first round pick, great player. Already, the trade for Burns and the contract was good. Signing Dexter Lawrence a year early was also great. The free agent signing of Bobby Okereke, also great. Like, they really have done a bang up job on defense to get a strong unit. Now, obviously, there's going to be a different defensive coordinator this year because Wink Martindale resigned, which sucks because Wink did a lot with that defense last year to make them a solid, really, really solid unit. But now it's going to be a little bit different of a transition with Shane Bowen is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Giants this year. He was the Tennessee defensive coordinator from 2021 to 2023. So, hopefully that works out. He's got a lot to work with, a lot of good players. Now, really, offensively, it's about bolstering the defensive line. Get some playmakers in there. Obviously, you're not really going to try and... I would love to get, like, if Blake Corum somehow was there in, like, the third round. I don't know where Blake Corum's projected to go. But the running back from Michigan, like, I like him a lot. He might go, like, second round to a team that can afford it. But if he's there, like, if the Giants could get someone in the draft, that's what you do. Try and draft rookie running backs in, like, the between the third and, like, fourth round. I would love to see them go that route. In terms of the sixth overall pick, it kind of feels like whoever's there. Because outside the number one pick, I'm not really sure where they're going. Like, I don't know if Washington is totally locked in on Drake May, or if maybe they go with Jaden Daniels. Where do the Patriots go? Do they take Marvin Harrison Jr. or do they take a quarterback? The Cardinals, I feel like the Cardinals, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, kind of a no-brainer. Regardless, the Cardinals at number four, if I'm them, I'm probably taking a wide receiver no matter what. Whoever's there, if Marvin Harrison happens to be gone, take, you know, Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, whichever one tickles your fancy. Uh-huh. But the Giants at six, again, depending on how the top five shapes up, maybe they can grab Joe Alt, the Notre Dame tackle. Maybe they grab Joe Alt. Maybe they get a wide receiver if Joe Alt's gone. But, you know, I wouldn't hate grabbing Roma Dunze at six. I've seen mock drafts that have that happening for the Giants. I've also seen mock drafts with them getting Joe Alt, which is why I mention all of this. So kind of seems like it can go either way, but it definitely feels like at number six, we're going offense no matter what. It's just a matter of if we're going to get a skills position or we're going to get an offensive lineman. Personally, if he's there, I think it's a no-brainer. Draft Joe Alt. Call it a day. Move Evan Neal to guard. Try and get him worked out. Joe Alt can goes to right tackle, and now all of a sudden you got Alt and Andrew Thomas on either end of the offensive line, and that sounds beautiful to me. So I very much like that. Also, Joe Shane signing Andrew Thomas a year before he was eligible to be a free agent. Very smart move, because he would have yielded a lot more money in the open market. So they're making good moves, the Giants. Painful to see McKinney and Barkley, two high draft picks, walk for nothing. Yeah, it sucks. But Brian Burns in return, able to allocate your money to key positions in a lot of holes that you have to fill. You got five really, really strong players on the defensive end of the ball. And now you just got to plug the offensive line, because it was horrible. It was, like, legitimately horrible last year. So we got to figure that out. And then from there, all the while, you got to figure out the quarterback situation. Unfortunately, while you're doing all of this, you got to figure out what we're doing at quarterback. Like, to me, it feels like Daniel Jones is the out for Daniel Jones's contract. He got a 4-year contract. The out is after this year. And it feels like that's where we're trending, is to cut Daniel Jones, eat the whatever it is, $25-ish million in dead cap next offseason, and call it a day. And go and try and find someone else. That's where it feels like we're headed. But who knows? I don't know what the Giants plan on doing with that. But it's obviously something that needs to be addressed. All right. Quick bit of baseball news. Not sure what's going on with Gerrit Cole. He got an MRI on his throwing elbow. Said he had some discomfort. I'm petrified that that's going to come back. And it's going to be nightmare fuel. Yeah, 30 minutes ago via ESPN, Gerrit Cole having more tests, status for opener unknown. This is horrifying, like legitimately horrifying. Yankees manager Aaron Boone told reporters Tuesday in Florida that it would be, quote, difficult to picture Gerrit Cole making the opening day start as he deals with an unspecified elbow injury. He went underwent an MRI on Monday. Boone told reporters that Cole will be having more testing on Tuesday. He said a prognosis is not imminent. It's probably going to be a couple of days until everybody weighs in on it. This is a nightmare. Nightmare. If Gerrit Cole has something like significantly wrong with his elbow, and I don't even want to think about it, but yeah, that would be just totally pain, total pain. The Oscars were Sunday night. I actually watched them for the first time in a couple years, and Oppenheimer, like many predicted, won a ton of awards. They won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Film Editing, Best Cinematography, and Best Original Score. So 7 Oscars taken home for the Oppenheimer crew on Sunday. Best Animated Feature Film, The Boy and the Heron, Miyazaki doing it again. Love to see that. Godzilla Minus One. That movie won Best Visual Effects, I believe. So really cool to see that, because I remember I was talking about that on this podcast about how just the ability that they had to make, you know, to have the 1940s World War II Japan and then just have this beautiful looking Godzilla, which, I mean, Godzilla in Godzilla Minus One looks better than maybe any Godzilla ever. And that's even with these American versions of like Godzilla. Then you have Godzilla X Kong is like a, that's like a 13-year-old boy kind of imagined that movie. It's called Godzilla X Kong, not End, X Kong. Like it was written on like an Instagram page. And it's some, whatever the subtitle of the movie is just like, so bad. Wait, Godzilla X Kong. Oh, the New Empire. Like this is really, I think they like weaponize these huge kaiju monsters to be like battle bots. Basically they give Kong like a robot arm thing. They like, they're Transformers. It's crazy, dude. It's such a dumb movie. So conversely, Godzilla Minus One, really, really good film, drama centered around World War II, post-World War II Japan, around Japanese men and the citizens of Japan and how they're dealing with the aftermath of World War II. And then Godzilla happens to be in it. That's why the movie was so good. I'm so glad that it won an Oscar. Really, really, really dope. Cillian Murphy, first Oscar win in his first nomination for Best Actor. Robert Downey Jr., his first Oscar win in his third nomination, and he won for Best Supporting Actor. And Christopher Nolan, I believe, this was his 6th nomination for Best Director. First time he's won. So, really dope to see all 3 of those guys win. All deservingly so. They were all incredible. Oppenheimer winning Best Film. Yeah, checks out. Everything is great. Al Pacino, I don't know what. I thought it was a bit. Because Al Pacino comes in and he's just like rambling on and on and on like Al Pacino does. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna open the envelope now. And let's see here. My eyes are telling me Oppenheimer. Like, no mention of the other 9 films that were nominated for Best Picture. They didn't. I think he jumped the gun. I think he lost sight of wherever the teleprompter was and just kind of ad-libbed it and just was like, yada, yada, yada. I don't really want to be here. They brought me out for this. Like, it was supposed to be like this big surprise. I thought he was going to give like a great speech. He was just ramblings of a madman, just like blah, blah, blah. No mention of the other 9 films. And then just kind of like, I thought it was a bit, because right before he came on, Jimmy Kimmel was talking about how much time they had. Like they went kind of quickly and he's like, we have so much time for whatever. He's like, does anyone else want to make a speech? We'll start lining up right here and we can all, you know, whoever wants to make a speech, we got some time to kill. And then he brought out Al Pacino. So I thought Al Pacino just kind of like mumbling and rambling about like some of the stuff, not knowing like any of the movie names, I thought that was just of him kind of like messing around, trying to kill time. And I thought I was waiting for him to just be like, you know, the producers are in my ear telling me we have time to kill. So that's why I'm kind of talking like this right now. But he never even said that. And then all of a sudden he opens the envelope and is just like, my eyes see Oppenheimer. And then it was just kind of like, play the music, play the music. And they played the music and everyone went up and accepted the award. But it was just such a bizarre ending to the Oscars. Al Pacino, I think, completely dropped the ball on it. And it was so funny. God, man. Yeah, he got old. That is devastating. But he's still the man. I still love Al Pacino. Anyway, yeah. So it was bizarre, totally bizarre ending to the Oscars. But all in all, not bad. I thought it was pretty good. There was really only one thing that people were kind of split on. It was a bit controversial, and that was Kimmel's opening monologue where he joked about Robert Downey Jr. doing a bunch of coke. And, you know, because he was like, this is the highest point Robert's ever been in his career, which I thought was kind of funny. But then he went with it like a bit too long. And RDJ was in the crowd and he was tapping the front of his nose, you know, and he was trying to give like this little signal to Kimmel. He's like, you're a bit on the nose. Like, this isn't funny. You're kind of just, you're hitting it on the nose a little bit too much. And it's a bit too much. I think that's what he was trying to signal to Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel was just like, oh, you're tapping your nose there. Is that like a signal for something? Making like another coke joke. And I think, you know, after the first one, he made like maybe two or three more comments about it. And it got like a little weird. It got a little uncomfortable. And I think people... That's what kind of, I saw people online were at least a little like, Jimmy Kimmel's not funny, blah, blah, blah. Other than that, I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a pretty good job. Of course, he got slightly political towards the end when Donald Trump sent this long-winded tweet about how Jimmy Kimmel stinks. And Jimmy Kimmel read it live and was like, guess which former president said that? But yeah, so it was a little weird there too. But overall, I didn't think Jimmy Kimmel was too bad. Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken. What a performance. I mean, to have everyone, you know, the other Kens in the mix as well was really, that was a cool surprise. And then Slash showed up and was fucking ripping the guitar at the end of it. And Ryan Gosling's like singing with his arm draped around Slash's shoulder. Like it was crazy. And then Ryan Gosling did a thing that I assume was for Eva Mendes and his children, where he like grabbed this necklace when he was doing the final like crescendo for the song. He like grabbed his necklace and kissed it a couple times as the camera zoomed out from them. So I assume that was kind of like a signal to them, which was pretty cute. Yeah, he was awesome. He can really belt it. Like that wasn't just movie effect singing. That he was live at the Oscars letting it rip. Like he was singing every single word. It was really impressive. The choreography was great. It was one of the best live performances. Let me go through. There's a couple other things I want to go. So I mentioned Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor were Robert Downey Jr. and Cillian Murphy, but Best Supporting Actress and Best Actress I want to get to. Best Supporting Actress was the first award announced, which I guess they kind of wanted to start off with like a bang, like a little bit of a very important award. Best Supporting Actress was Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Beautiful speech, very emotional, very great. Well deserved. I've heard nothing but good things about The Holdovers. Unfortunately, you know, I did watch the Oscars, but I didn't get to see like most of the Oscar nominated movies. I saw a lot of them, but not all of them. Like The Holdovers is one that I didn't get to see. Anatomy of a Fall, I didn't get to see. I heard that was great. Maestro's on Netflix. I can watch that whenever, but I didn't see that either. Best Actress was Emma Stone for Poor Things. Didn't see this one either. Again, heard great things, but this is Emma Stone's second Oscar for Best Actress. She won for La La Land too. So Emma Stone, maybe, I don't know if it's very low key anymore, but maybe low key one of the best actresses ever. She's got 2 Academy Awards for Best Actress. She's really like, she's killing it. And she was kind of a mess when she was up there. She got super emotional. But it was pretty cool. I thought that it was insane that she won another Oscar. Like, that's, you think about all the great actors and actresses throughout the decades of movies and how many of them have won, let alone 2. There's not like some, you know, Leo took forever to get his. Denzel took a while. He only has 1 and it's for Training Day. You know, I think Brad Pitt, all the great movies he was in, he only has 1 and it was for recently. He just got it for Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So a lot of these guys, like, they don't even have 1. A lot of great actors, and some of them, a lot of them don't have 2, let alone 1. So Emma Stone, pretty crazy that she now has 2 Best Actress wins for a leading role. Pretty crazy. Yeah, she got nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Birdman in 2014. She won for Best Actress in La La Land in 2016. And then she also has another Best Supporting Actress nomination for The Favorite. And then she has 4 nominations, 2 for Best Supporting Actress and 2 for Best Actress. And she's won both Best Actress nominations. That's insane. That's an insane run. So congratulations to Emma Stone. But Ryan Gosling was spectacular. Like, really, ever since La La Land, both of them have just been skyrocketing towards superstardom. So pretty cool. All right. I think that'll do it for this episode of From My Point of View. We got a little Oscars talking, mostly NFL news. The pain about Gerrit Cole is going to suck. Hopefully that's not anything serious, but at this point, I'm expecting the worst. So yeah, that's going to stink. Thank you for listening to another episode of From My Point of View. Appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you all next Tuesday.